I'm here with Mary Kay Benson. What are you trying to accomplish here today at this vigil for Steve and Guy Van Zandt?
Well, we're just trying to emphasize that this majority of the city council, who does their own hating the homeless, have instigated a hate culture. And now we have hate crimes against our homeless, including the latest one, which is supposedly several teenagers, maybe 14 to 15 years old, going into Tykert Pines, opening fire and killing one with another in Enlow.
What would you say about him?
He was a good guy. He worked hard. He didn't deserve it.
So. How do you feel about the whole thing?
I don't like it. I just found out. It's just terrifying.
Guillermo Mash reporting for Without a Roof and Imagining Community here on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. That short clip we just aired was Candy, a visibly shaken, longtime houseless community member sharing her feelings at the vigil for murder victim Guy Steven Van Zandt. Van Zandt was murdered in the wee hours of Saturday morning, September 4th, by a vigilante group of unknown size that entered a homeless camp on the north side of Tykert Pines and shot two campers, killing Van Zandt and injuring another. The group, consistently identified as teenagers by neighboring campers, ordered the two men onto the ground where they were shot execution style, accompanied by a barrage of hateful language. Local houseless advocacy group Butte County Shelter for All organized a 5:30 p.m. vigil for the murder victim, Guy Steven Van Zandt, outdoors on the entryway into the Chico City Council chambers, beginning a half hour before the council meeting. The vigil attracted roughly 75 people, with a few dozen houseless community members resting nearby on the grass. A handful of speakers addressed the public, including Chris Nelson.
I'm here with Chris Nelson, one of the organizers. What was the vigil all about this evening, and what do you think we accomplished?
Well, I don't know if we accomplished anything, but I do know that a lot of people care, because a lot of people turned out. And I think that everyone is just totally stymied by the escalation of violence in our community. And we can all point back to these hate groups that are in Chico, that children or teenagers, you know, they hear from their parents this really ugly language. And they have access to their parents' guns or to some adult's guns. And so now they've just done this vigilante murder of a man, and then they injured another man. We don't know how bad that is, but it's terrible. And I think it frightens all of us to think about it, but especially the people that have no homes.
And I'm back here with Chris Nelson. They just did a beautiful moment of silence. Any closing comments, Chris?
All we could tell people to stay safe was just get down low, make sure that nobody could see into their tent, and to cover themselves up with something, and don't be provoked to go outside and check on anything. This is a terrible way to have to live, you know, have to be in a burrow just about. It really offends me that we have to tell them that, because it's so terrifying for them. You know, and it's just totally wrong. Thanks, Bill.
Give us, our listeners, a feel for what transpired here over the last half hour at the vigil, and what you feel about the whole situation. Addison Winslow.
We got a bunch of people here together. It's good to see a big turnout. We haven't had events like this in a little while. And then people come out just to show respect for Guy Stevens, who was killed in Tykert Pines. And partly I feel like this is important because it's to correct the media misconception, because they released the info that there was a shooting out there without like the identification that witnesses had, as they normally do. They'll say, you know, there was a black male or something, and that you always hear that whenever that's the shooter's identified as a black male, they tell you that. But these were 14 to 18 year old kids. They said it was everybody says they were teenagers, and I think it's important that people know that this is coming out of like hatred that's brewed in our community, and it's really turned into this really, really gnarly and dangerous form of hatred. Since I started spending a lot of time in homeless encampments, I heard stories that it seemed almost unbelievable to me at first that people would drive by and shoot BB guns at them. And people were afraid whenever they had the ability to camp out in the open away from the waterways where they're hidden. People didn't want to because they were concerned about that, this is something that happens on a regular basis. And it happened in the Triangle. It happened off of Cypress Ave, the other large homeless encampment. It's happened in the parking lot in Comanche Creek, and certainly like Windchime Park and Tiger Ponds is just a little bit off the road, so they're that safe from that aspect, but people went in there with real deadly firearms.
Without a Roof extends our deepest sympathy for family members and loved ones of both of the victims and lends our unwavering support for the identification of the vigilante shooters and seeing them brought to justice. We also urge people to think before they dehumanize destitute community members with hateful or dismissive language. Turn your energy into gratitude, knowing that if you have a roof, be grateful. All right, Guillermo Mash with a Roof here, KZFR Downtown Studios. I do want to thank KZFR for letting me slip in some, local news, man, in this 5 o'clock slot. And I'm going to continue our coverage of the shooting, the houseless shooting, the senseless murder. And I'm going to read a city council email that Diane Suzuki just sent out. But before I do that, I just want to thank Diane again. I thanked her, through social media, Facebook message that... she did a nice little grounding thing at the vigil and said, we need a different tone, man. This is a vigil. Let's pay some respect. And we had a couple of minutes of silence and we recognized the houseless folks that were gathered on either side of the 75 or so people that showed up. But this is what Diane just wrote to the city council. Dear city councilors, I'm writing to urge you to make sure that Chico PD keeps up the investigation of the double shooting slash murder of an unhoused man, Stephen Van Zandt, and another individual who is hospitalized. Quick thing to interject here. The police still have not released the name of the murder victim, and there's different names floating around that are pretty close. Guy Stephen Van Zandt. But anyway, Stephen Van Zandt lived in a homeless encampment. But that should not dismiss the scope of CPD's responsibility of protecting and serving the community. Community policing includes keeping the whole town safe from predatory behavior. Witnesses have identified the killers as young vigilantes who were yelling hateful epithets. Vigilantism, murder, injuring others, and hate crimes are illegal. I would assume that the Chico Police Department would not agree to untrained individuals self-appointing themselves as law enforcement without legal authority. The unhoused must be protected just like any other part of our community and not discriminated against due to being poor, in ill health, a fire survivor with mental health challenges, addicted or traumatized. Please take a moment for those who have lost their lives while unhoused or are experiencing hardships beyond your comprehension. Diane Suzuki, Chico, California. I want to do one lighthearted. The next thing's about water. Water is lighthearted. It's light. It's liquid. It can be steam. It could be solid liquid gas. But I saw something that lifted my heart, man. I'm going to pass it along. First Street Theater. Old Blue Room locations bringing theater back, man. And I'm looking at their homepage right now. FirstStreetTheater.com. That's a good name. Coming soon. Their opening nights is 7 days, 8 hours. Put that in your calendar and support the arts. I'm going to lead into the Imagining Community portion of our 30-minute segment here, news segment on water. And I'm going to read this that came through my email via Jimmy Brobeck from Barbara Vlamis. Hope I got that name correct, pronunciation, with Aqua Alliance. And it's regarding a court case that was heard today in Sacramento. In the case of Aqua Alliance et al. Versus the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, Judge Shub in federal court in Sacramento heard arguments by the plaintiffs for a preliminary injunction to try and stop the incentive for extra groundwater pumping plans. The extra pumping, which is going on as we speak, is happening because the large, mostly rice water districts along the Sacramento River had their typical river water allocations cut by 25%. Instead of accepting the seriousness of this critically dry year, the districts, with the blessing of their patron, Reclamation, Bureau of Reclamation, are selling river water to desert agriculture south of the Delta and conducting extra groundwater pumping that will harm the neighbors and the environment. Never to let a crisis go to waste, the districts and reclamation are using the extra pumping to hammer the groundwater basin, their version of science, to see what happens. Reclamation even encourages some pumpers to establish new low levels in their wells to ensure harsher use of groundwater for future transfers. The Bureau, USBR, U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, has instructed water users that contractors may wish to establish historic lows on their wells and use this opportunity to establish baseline conditions of their wells for use in future transfers. I'm going to slip in, hey, maybe they'll do the same thing next year and just keep bleeding the groundwater dry. There are many problems with this project. To start, AquaAlliance's attorney presented expert evidence of existing historic lows in wells in Glenn and other counties, while the defendants complained they couldn't have determined this themselves, even though the information is publicly available. Additionally, the groundwater pumping started before the environmental review by Reclamation. A smoking gun letter demonstrates the collusion by the districts and Reclamation months in advance. Expert declarations illustrate that extra groundwater pumping has the potential to do serious harm to local farmers, residents, and ecosystems dependent on the groundwater. The project will add to the cumulative impacts that have long-lasting declines in stream flows. And I think we can see that during, I'm calling the new age of permanent drought. And there's a, Google that, California permanent drought. You'll see some news on that. Getting back to some meetings that I was involved with yesterday. First one is VINA GSA, Groundwater Sustainability Agencies. This came out of a law. I'm going to try to pull this up. I'm doing this live. I do have the actual website bookmarked, and I was going to pull it up. But yeah, if you go out to water.ca.gov, the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, SGMA, established a new structure for managing California's groundwater resources at the local level by local agencies. SGMA required groundwater sustainability agencies, GSAs, to form. And that was back in 2017. So I had a chance to dial in to two meetings. VINA GSA is the first one you're going to hear from the morning. And there was some interesting conversation around Tuscan Water District, a ploy to kind of undercut the new groundwater sustainability agencies, by my view, and looking at the underlying data and seeing the lack of any people that are voting yes on this, explaining why. But I wanted you to hear the public comments, and I'll give you a little bit more context after that. All this and more here on People Radio.
Okay, so it would be Jim Brovac, and then after that would be Amy Raymond.
Thanks, Linda, and thanks, Chairman Tuchinsky. The Tuscan Water District intention to import, transfer, and recharge water is mentioned numerous times in their application. Though they have not revealed the projects they have in mind, their mission dovetails with longstanding Department of Water Resources and U.S. Bureau of Reclamation plans to integrate Sacramento Valley aquifers into the state water supply through conjunctive use. Numerous North State Irrigation and Reclamation Districts sold their river water and replaced it with groundwater. Clearly, the conjunctive use assimilation of our regional aquifer is in play. In fact, this year, the Bureau has instructed water sellers that, quote, settlement contractors may wish to establish historic lows on their wells and use this opportunity to establish baseline conditions of their wells for use in future transfers, unquote. It is a shame that the VINA GSA is spending so much energy on the undemocratic TWD water banking controversy, while our neighboring GSAs are avoiding transparent interbasin coordination that is necessary if we are to succeed in stabilizing our shared aquifer system. I was appointed to the Butte Water Advisory Committee by Supervisor Yamaguchi in 2009. I'm currently a member of the VINA SHAC. I'm not speaking on behalf of the SHAC, but I agree with the VINA GSA attorney that, quote, recharge projects may underestimate the amount of water that migrates or is lost, which could result in decreasing the amount of water available for overlying groundwater users. I object to the idea that meeting VINA GSA objectives will require projects aimed at increasing water supplies. It's clear that reliance on increasing water supplies is fraught with legal consequences. It requires complex permits and would not be required if a suite of effective conservation measures are implemented. The non-controversial conservation projects that are in the PMA list are able to reduce demand by 13,000 to 17,000 acre feet a year. We need to get to work implementing these conservation projects and to ramp up our interbasin coordination vigilance if we are to protect the future of our agriculture prowess, protect our groundwater dependent ecosystems, and protect the domestic water supply of the thousands of citizens that are not members of the Tuscan Water District.
Amy Raymond is next.
Yes, and thank you, board members, for allowing me to make my comments. My name is Amy Raymond, and I'm a Butte County Water Commissioner. And I'd like to share with you three reasons why you should oppose the formation of the Tuscan Water District. One is the Tuscan Water District's application before you has been altered on the LAFCO website on or before September 3rd. And the application you're being asked to make a decision on is not current. Two, you can achieve your sustainability yields in short order without requiring any of the services that the Tuscan Water District has even yet to declare that they're intending to provide. So you don't need them. And
I want to interject some context here in this from what I gleaned from the meeting. Bottom line, there's a lot of data that was shared, but let's just say the number that we're talking about is 233,000 acre feet will be allowed to be pumped from the aquifer, and that will be sufficient to maintain the aquifer. And to be able to do that, they're looking at 13,000. Once again, there's plus or minus 10 or 20%. There was a doctorate that explained all that, and I'm not the doctorate. But the bottom line is the plans that the GSA had put together, the project management actions, all had to do with conservation, and a lot of them were stuff the farmers are already doing, installing drip, getting, you know, normal flow back into our groundwater instead of coming up with man-made ways of doing it. And I'm going to be covering on Imagining Community the PMAs themselves to try to give the organizations and the people that are looking at this so hard and fast for our water futures, you know, an ability to get a little PR around this. But let's get back to Amy Raymond here on KZFR 90.1 FM.
Three, the powers of a California water district are vast and should not be handed to a monopoly landowner-based district fraught with outside corporations. So the application that you have in hand was altered on the LAFCO website prior to the Butte County Water Commission meeting on September 1. I made the executive officer aware of numerous deficiencies in the application that had been provided for review to all the local agencies, to Butte County proper, and to the Water Commission. On or about September 3rd, that application was altered on the website, as well as missing data that had been identified was added to the website. In that alteration, it was holistically removed. So you do not have access to the original application. You only have access to the modified/corrected application. Therefore, comments that are made using the original application can't be relied upon for your decisions here. Secondly, as Mr. Brobeck pointed out, you're looking to save 10,000 acre feet, and you have PMA projects in hand that easily exceed that, and again, without the services of the Tuscan Water District. And then thirdly, I'd like to highlight a couple of passages in the Cal Water Division 13 code that you should be aware of, is that Tuscan Water District would get to decide what to do with the surface water. Code 35425 says, if it's the board deems it to be in the best interest of the district, a district may enter into a contract for the lease, sale, or use of any surplus water not then necessary for use within the district for use either within or without the district. Secondly, TWD can partner with.
I just want to interject. That's what's going on with the original lawsuit that I read a few minutes ago. It's exactly what they're doing. They're pumping groundwater and selling surface water down to the valley and beyond.
Anyone they choose to distribute water. Section 35571 A district may join with any other district engaged in distributing water in exercising the powers, or may execute joint power agreements with any agency formed for that purpose. 3, Tuscan gets to set the rules to distribute the water and can withhold water. Section 35423, a district may establish, print, distribute rules and regulations for sale and distribution of water. Failure to violation of the rules will allow them to, basically stop delivering water. 4, Tuscan Water District gets to decide what crops and acreage get a water allocation. If the district section 35454.5, if the district concludes the available water supply,
Commissioner Raymond, if you could wrap up, that would be fantastic.
Sure.
But we're allowing 3 minutes for comment.
So basically, they get to decide who they get, what crops get grown, how much water gets assigned to those crops, who can irrigate, who gets water, who doesn't get water. A tremendous, tremendous amount of power that cannot be taken away by conditions that LAFCO is talking about. So in summary, the application before you has been altered. 2, you already have projects to meet your goals. And 3, it is a California Water District is a very dangerous beast. I implore you to oppose the Tuscan Water District. Thank you.
I've taken a look. I've read through most of the documentation. I've talked to the experts. I've sat through the meetings. And you absolutely, if you believe in sustainability for Butte County, for the farmers, for the people, for folks that live and work and play in Butte County, you absolutely, positively do not want to support the Tuscan Water District. And I very seldom do that. I very seldom be that strong about something. I'm pretty strong about this one. Pretty strong about this one. And I'm pretty strong about this. I don't have time to read my public comments. I actually had public comments yesterday. I was so ready to give some public comments. But Fina GSA voted in closed session to not talk about the TWD at their board meeting, their joint board meeting, which you're going to hear a little bit from here. And that is ridiculous. Maybe in the archive I'll put what I had to say. But I do want to jump back into this, and we're going to hear Mr. Brobeck again talking about language that was slipped in. Real quick, the PMAs and the structure for SGMRs for the years that they've been working on it is sustainability and conservation plans. And at the late hour, Tuscan Water District's coming in going, no, if we want to maintain the health of groundwater, we need to pump surface water into the ground and own it. We're about putting water in the ground, you know, so they can make money off it. And Mr. Brobeck and Jim McCabe, shout out to him as well, pointed out how language was slipped in after all these years, kind of talking about how the Vina GSA is going to be about putting water in the ground. So here you go, here on Peak Power Radio.
On PDF page 22 of the agenda packet, we find under 5.1, the revised draft projects and management action chapter, there's a statement composed by the ad hoc revising committee that has not been discussed in the SHAC. The revised PMA chapter declares that achieving groundwater sustainability in the Vina subbasin will, quote, require projects aimed at increasing water supplies and decreasing groundwater dependence, unquote. It's clear that reliance on increasing water supplies to engage in experimental recharge is fraught with legal consequences. It requires complex permits, and it would not be required if a suite of effective conservation measures are implemented. I want to urge the board to consider dropping the language that requires increasing water supplies and returning to the original verbiage, which is achieving sustainability in the subbasin requires implementation of projects and management actions. I wonder if Chairman Tuchinsky could ask our legal counsel if importing water to increase water supplies is even within the authorized power and scope of a GSA or under SGMA.
Thank you for the comment and the question, Mr. Brobeck. You had submitted this and some other questions in writing, and so I forwarded that to the management team to forward to our council. And so, Valerie, could you answer, and if we need, or if it's, you would advise us to modify the language, if you have any suggestion for modified language for us to consider?
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's for the same reasons that Mr. Brobeck brings up, but I like the concept, and I think he's talking about section, what was 5.1, but maybe is 6.1 now. The concept that we talk about projects and management actions to get to sustainability rather than supplies, I think is a positive and more consistent with Sigma verbiage. I'm happy to try to do some edits or read in edits suggested if folks like. Having said that, it is within the GSA's purview to acquire water, apply for a permit, bring in water, do those types of things to get to sustainability. However, you do want to be careful not to mistake the GSA for a water supply provider. That's not really what we are. That's not a position that the GSA should take on. So I'm happy to work not only with the SHAC, but staff to kind of gear that language towards getting to sustainability rather than focusing on supplies and demands.
That's the attorney giving really good legal advice on how Sigma is not intended to become a water purveyor like Tuscan Water District wants them to do.
I think that is an appropriate direction to move in.
And she's ready to move, and watch how fast she gets shut down.
Does that answer your question?
It does. And Chair Crane, would you like to ask your counsel for opinion on the language as well? Or I know that he's sitting here, so I don't want to override yours
Aiden,
as well.
If you have a comment, that's great. My thought is that in moving forward this is simply to release a draft that's going to be available for public comment. So I would contend that comments such that Mr. Brobeck made are brought into consideration, and they're considered during the public comment period because we need to get the draft out so that we can meet the time frame. So, Aiden, do you have any comments on that specifically?
No, agree with your comment about efficiency. Valerie and my office will need to talk about joint legal review soon.
Yes.
Great, perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we can have the council review, just as long as there was no fundamental objection to having it reviewed, and that's great, then
no.
Perfect.
And there's going to be review with lots of public comments for certain. So the main push is at this point to keep on target with getting the draft out so there's ample public comment.
You know, just to interject something here, you know, certainly Jimmy made some points during public comment, but he's on the SHAC, which is an advisory committee, which is part of the governance of Vina GSA. So to put him off for a public comment, I don't think it was acceptable. And I'm coming up with a response. I might reach out directly to DWR or LAFCO, but I had heard at that meeting was unacceptable. And I'm going to play Jimmy Brobeck's Flow. This is a song we recorded for Imagining Community. I do thank you for listening. Look more for this water stuff coming up on Imagining Community First Thursdays, and we might be sneaking in a few more of these special segments because, as I said, the Vina GSA has done a marvelous job. That includes all of Vina GSA. And I really think it's time for our listening audience and the public at large to understand the good work they're doing and what these project management actions mean. Because, once again, you know, they're looking at 13,000 acre-feet reduction conservation out of 233,000 that they say you can pump. That's a pretty small number, and they've got plans to do it. They don't need water purveyors coming in trying to make money, saying we're here to put money in it. We'll put water in the ground and sell it. People Power Radio.
Catch a Ralph River, hitchhike with your boat, paddle current, move with the flow, won't feel rhythm, river, rhythm. I wanna feel that flow, feel the river flow, and know it it seems bold. I wanna be the flow, be the river flow. Ocean flow, and though it seems bold, I wanna be that flow, be the ocean flow.
Fresh Hop Cinema.